How many of us, and don't raise your hand, just think about it, but it's something we've all done, I know. How many of us have ever heard a sermon and we thought, boy, I wish so-and-so would have heard that sermon, you know? Or you read a passage, boy, if so-and-so would just read this passage in the Bible or this book I'm reading, they'd be all fixed. We're very good at that. We're very good at knowing what other people need. And it's harder for us to know what we ourselves need, right? But Yeshua encourages us, Matthew 7, 1 through 5, don't judge so that you won't be judged, right? For with whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with whatever measure you measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but don't consider the beam that is in your own eye, right? So we're looking out, you got a little bit of sawdust in your eye. Meanwhile, we've got a telephone pole sticking out of our own eye. Or how will you tell your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and behold, the beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first remove the beam out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Okay, that seems to make sense, okay? So get your own lives cleaned up. We need to get our own lives cleaned up first. Now this thing here, Matthew 7:1, don't judge so that you won't be judged. Some judging has to happen. The Bible makes that clear. There are things that we need to judge. But there's an attitude here that Yeshua is getting at of that self-inspection first, okay? And I've taught before, it's been a while, but I've taught before about that self-inspection happening through the Word of God, happening from the Spirit of God, and then you can remove the sawdust from your brother's eye, okay? Exodus 3, 1 through 5, from today's Torah portion, says this, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush has not burned. Excuse me. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near, take the sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Moses comes into the presence of the Lord and has this fabulous, phenomenal conversation with God that literally turns Moses' life upside down. Excuse me. Turns his life upside down. Moses, the text seems to indicate, is very happy not having a conversation with God. He didn't go to say, you know, I need to seek the Lord. He's just seeking somewhere to feed his sheep. He didn't expect an encounter with God, didn't necessarily want an encounter with God. We see from some of his reticence to obey God, God says, go talk to Pharaoh. Oh, I'm not very good at talking. Why me? Moses is pretty content in his life before the burning bush, it appears. He's married. He's got a kid. He's got a job. He's not worried about Egypt anymore. Egypt's in the past. But God comes down on Mount Horeb and turns his life absolutely upside down. And we often focus on God using Moses to bring Israel out of Egypt. What a blessing Moses is to Israel. What a blessing Moses is to the whole world. Through him, God gave the Torah and a whole new paradigm of how to look at things. It's phenomenal. It's great. Thank you, God, for Moses. But what we fail to understand is the work being done in Moses' own life. That he goes from a sheep herder taking care of animals to being used by God in miraculous and wonderful ways. And God wants to do that for us. He wants to turn our lives upside down, and many of us are very happy just herding our sheep, right? Let me just herd my sheep. I'll do my little religious duty. God wants to turn our lives upside down, and it takes a burning bush experience to do that, okay? This whole thing of seeing the sawdust in my brother's eye and I don't see the beam in my own, it's easy to want to change somebody else's life. It's hard for you to want your own life changed and for me to want my own life changed. Okay? Why is that? Well, we've built up a layer of fat around our persona, so to speak. We've built up this protective wall so that really the inner core cannot be pierced easily. Right? We don't see it. Everyone else sees it, and you see it in everyone else. I see it in everyone else. It's hard for us to see it in ourselves because that's our way of self-preservation so that we don't have our lives turned upside down all the time. It's difficult to change, right? It's difficult to change, but that's what God calls us to. I'd like to share another story with you. This one from Acts chapter 9. This is Paul meeting God on the road to Damascus. Chapter 9 of Acts, verses 1 through 8. And Paul was still breathing threats and slaughter against the Talmudim, the disciples of the Lord. He went to the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he traveled, it happened that he got close to Damascus, and suddenly a light from the sky shone around him. He fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Shaul, Shaul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" The Lord said, "I am Yeshua, whom you are persecuting. But rise up and enter into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Shaul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. The only way that Moses' life is going to get turned around is that burning bush experience. He needs to come into the presence of God. He's not going to sit in his tent and put little mathematical equations together and come out and say, "You know, I think I need to go back to Egypt where they want to kill me. And I think I need to do miracles by the hand of the Lord before Pharaoh and lead Israel out of Egypt." You don't come about that by self-reflection. You don't come about that by equations. You come about that by coming into the presence of the Lord and letting him turn your life upside down. You don't go from persecuting in your zeal for God, persecuting followers of Yeshua, to being not just a follower of Yeshua, but turning the world upside down yourself, unless the blinding light of the Lord knocks you off your horse, right? Paul cannot, despite all his training, he cannot look at the scriptures without the anointing of the Lord, come to the conclusion that Yeshua is the Messiah, that he needs to be the greatest missionary for Messiah the world had ever seen. He didn't come about that through self-reflection and through study. He came about that by being knocked off his horse by the blinding light of the Lord. I am not discounting the study of the Bible by any means, or the fact that people haven't come to the Lord that way. But the Spirit of God has got to be involved in it if it's going to be the life change that it needs to be. Last week, I told you that today's sermon would be a little different, okay? In fact, the next few, I think, will be a little different. Usually, my sermons are hopefully theologically interesting, motivational, spiritual. That's what I aim for. for the Lord to speak through me and into our lives with lofty ideas. And I said that for the next few weeks, I think what I need to do is take a little different tact. And instead of just saying something like we need to pray and motivating us to pray, I need to go step by step and show some of us how to pray. Okay? Some of you may have dynamic, wonderful prayer lives. And as I go through some of these ideas, you may be able to take something and incorporate it and use it. You may not. But I know that there are some who need it. Some people I talk to, how's your prayer life? Well, I pray throughout the day, but I don't really have that specific prayer time. That's not good enough. You should pray throughout the day, but how are you going to have that knock you off the horse, blinding light moment if the only time you're praying is when you're driving to work and back, right? You need something else. You need that standing on holy ground moment like you have in synagogue in your personal prayer life. Okay? Your life is not going to change. You're not going to see the beam in your eye if you are not coming before the Lord on a daily basis. Lord, I need to be in your presence. Lord, I need to see, I need a burning bush experience. Otherwise, I think everything's fine. I think everyone else knows things aren't fine. Everyone else sees that I'm cranky or that I'm prideful or that I'm this or that. I need your blinding light to knock me off my high horse, humble me before the Messiah, so that you can change my life. Okay? So how do we do that? Let me get into the specifics now. How do we do that? All right. The first thing is you need a time set aside with the Lord every day. You need a specific time. In the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, maybe two or three times a day, you work that out with the Lord. But it should be scheduled, okay? This is my prayer time. The kids want your attention, the friends want your attention, whatever it might be. The phone starts to ring. You say, no, this is my time. And don't be afraid to tell them, this is my prayer time. Even unbelievers who don't understand it, this is my prayer time. They'll appreciate your spirituality, and hopefully some of it will rub off, right? That you take this seriously, that this is not just some fluff because you happen to be raised a certain way. This is your life. So set a prayer time is the first thing. Number two, don't allow distractions to pull you away. If the phone rings, they'll leave a message if it's important, okay? You'll call them back later. Okay? Your smartphone vibrates because somebody sent you an email. You'll read the email later. Okay? Your kid needs you for this or that. I'm sorry, you have to give me just a few minutes, right? So don't allow distractions to pull you away because you're on holy ground before the Lord, right? Moses at the burning bush didn't say, excuse me a second, God, I see a lamb wandering off. That would have been disrespectful to the Lord. Let it be holy ground. Set aside time. Don't allow distractions to come in. Choose a format that works for you. I have different formats in my prayer life that I have to kind of gauge where the Lord's leading me. Sometimes I use a siddur, a prayer book, to come into the Lord's presence. It's not just the words of the prayer. They're kind of like a diving board. The prayers are like diving boards into a deep spirituality, but it gives me a certain focus and a certain way to pray. Sometimes the Bible, sometimes the Psalms. I open up the book of Psalms and read some of those. Doesn't end with just reading the Psalms, but it starts there. Sometimes I pull out my guitar and I sing and I play music. It's not just that, but that becomes the starting point of it. You pick what works for you and what you feel the Lord leading you in. And I'm going to give you something here in a little bit that may help you as well. So, is it a Bible? Okay? Do you know where the worship psalms are? Know where the psalms of forgiveness are? And maybe use the Bible. Maybe you're not a musician, but you love music, and that inspires your spirituality. Have recordings of songs that will help you get into that mode of worshiping the Lord. Maybe you need to go for a walk, okay? I used to do a lot of prayer walks, excuse me, for two reasons. First of all, we lived in a small apartment. There wasn't much place to go where there wasn't a distraction. So to get out and away, I would go for a walk. Also, sometimes because I was just tired. And if my feet weren't moving, my brain would, I would fall asleep, right? So maybe you need to go for a prayer walk to keep yourself awake or to get yourself out of the house and to get into the presence of the Lord. Okay? So number one, set aside time. Number two, don't be distracted. Number three, choose a format that works for you, that gets you close to the Lord, okay? This is not about, oh, I just did it, good. I checked that off my to-do list for today. This is about, did I come into the presence of the Lord? Did I stand on holy ground? Did I allow Him to tell me what I can't hear from other people? Did I allow Him to change my life? How much time should I spend in prayer? Okay, get that question sometimes. Well, ultimately, the greatest thing would for you to be so developed in your prayer life that the Holy Spirit kind of guides you through that. Okay, for me, it's usually an hour. For you, you may not be there yet, or you may be beyond that. You may need to spend 2 hours in the Lord, and you've got the spiritual discipline to do that. The main thing is get started, right? Get started, seek the Lord, and then if that ends up being 10, 15 minutes for now, and before you were doing zero, that's great, okay? And then see how the Lord develops that in your life, okay? So, what I would like to do now is I would like maybe two volunteers to hand one of these out to everybody. You want to help Josh? Maybe give a few to Josh. Good to see you, Josh. So I wrote this for you guys. If you find it useful, great. If you want to change it around, great. If it's not for you, as long as you're praying, that's also great, okay? This is daily prayers loosely based on the Jewish liturgy. But we have here certain elements that I think needs to be a part of our prayer life. Number one, we've got the element of worship. Thank you. We've got the element of thanksgiving. We've got the element of repentance, asking for forgiveness. We've got the element of submitting to the Lord. That's a big one there. Submitting to the Lord. Lord, not my will, but yours be done, right? That kind of attitude. Lord, I want to tend the sheep, but if you're calling me to free Israel from Egypt, so be it. We need that submitted attitude, okay? And intercessory prayer, praying for the people in our lives, praying for our nation, praying for Israel. And all of that can be done in this two-page prayer outline. And I went through it myself last night, and this is the type of thing that you could do in 10 minutes, or you could do it in an hour. It depends on how long you fill in the blanks for, okay? But if you don't have that spiritual discipline yet, you don't have a prayer life yet, you could do this in 10 minutes. The important thing is the attitude you bring into it, okay? Am I listening to the Lord through it? Am I submitting to the Lord in this? Am I remembering that I'm on holy ground? Am I allowing him to change my life? So you could go through this and it would just be a list of stuff to do, and you might as well not have done it at all. Or you can do it with a sense of awe before your God, and with a sense of worship and thanksgiving. And this could literally be life-changing. This could literally bring you into the presence of God and change your life. Okay? But it just takes that discipline to every day do this. Okay? So let's go through this together. Okay? Why don't you read along with me? It starts on the page. It says daily prayers at the top. Abba, Father, I enter into this time of prayer to truly be near you. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul after you, God. Please come and meet me during this time and speak into my life. Change me. Heal me. I will extol you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you. I will extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Now, whenever you see blanks, that means you fill it in. Okay? So where it says, yes, Lord, I worship you because you are. And worship is telling God how great he is. Not because God needs to hear it, but because it brings you into that place under him of awe and reverence. And it reminds you that he's over all. It reminds you you're standing on holy ground. Instead of doing this, if you'd rather play a worship song or something like that, that's fine. But this beginning part is about entering his gates with thanksgiving and praise, okay? So, yes, Lord, I worship you because you are. And just allow the Spirit of God to lead you, right? I worship you because you are beautiful, Lord. I worship you because you are mighty and because you are merciful. And just however the Spirit of God leads you. Okay, let's continue on after that. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness endures forever. Lord, there are so many good things in my life I thank you for. And thanksgiving is different than worship. Worship is how great God is. Thanksgiving is how God has moved in your life. Lord, I thank you for my health. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my congregation. I thank you for the roof over my head. I thank you for Messiah, right? Whatever you're grateful for. And this can change your life. I'm telling you, I've never seen people go from so depressed to so happy by just changing that gratitude button, right? From feeling sorry to myself to, Lord, let me be thankful for the good things in my life. And then it continues, above all else, I thank you for Yeshua the Messiah, whose sacrifice paid the debt for my sin, and whose resurrection has given me eternal life. And then we get into confession. And don't just confess sins. Allow God into this part of the prayer, every part of the prayer. But in this part of the prayer, sometimes I go into my room to pray, and I'm not even aware of what I've done wrong until the Lord reveals it to me. Right? And so this is not the Lord beating us down. This is the Lord revealing it to us so we can get rid of it. Right? So, dear Father, I know that I've sinned before you. Please forgive me for. And then wait. You know what? My attitude was wrong the other day. You know what? I shouldn't have said such and so to my spouse or my friend or my children. And allow him to speak. And then allow him to lift that off of you. Because his mercy is complete. Because the sacrifice of Yeshua is so great that he lifts that sin off of you. And so Let's continue here. Have mercy on me, God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I gratefully thank you for the forgiveness that is mine in Yeshua the Messiah. I know that I am clean and forgiven because of your great mercy. Please give me the strength to live in righteousness. That's what we call teshuvah in Hebrew, that repentance. Not just I'm sorry for, but I'm sorry, help me to change. Give me the strength to walk in forgiveness. On the next page, the Shema is that submission to the Lord. You are God, and there is only one God, right? Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed. Hear Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. O Lord, you are the only God. I submit myself to your will, your ways, and your voice. Speak into my life and bring me into fullness of joy in your kingdom. Now, the one thing I considered putting in here and didn't was a time to be silent before the Lord. But really, all of this should be done with an attitude of silence, right? An attitude of however the Lord wants to lead me through these prayers, wherever he wants me to stop and allow him to speak, I'll do it. So the whole thing should be done in a, yes, we're speaking, yes, we're worshiping him, but at the same time, that attitude of silence, that the Lord is in charge of this time, that I'm standing before the burning bush or getting knocked off my horse by his blinding light, and really, it's him that needs to be doing most of the talking rather than me, right? So even though this is a list of things to say and things to pray, do it in a spirit of silence and awe before the Lord. Dear Father, I lift up to you the following who are in need of salvation. Okay? I lift up to you the following who are in need of healing and blessing. I pray for the following needs of my family and friends. I lift up to you the following personal needs. I pray for your blessing on the United States and Israel. I pray for wisdom for the leaders, peace around the borders, and the saving knowledge of Yeshua for all. I pray for my pastor, Sashra. Now, forgive me here. I hope that doesn't sound selfish, me wanting you guys to all pray for me. But I need it, right? Those who often are heads of congregations, there's a lot of pressures on us, right? And sometimes it's spiritual, sometimes it just comes with the territory, whatever it might be. So I really would like you guys to keep me in prayer. Or if you belong to another congregation, you should be keeping that pastor in prayer. And know that I keep you guys in prayer, okay? Every day, praying for you guys. So if you could do that for me, that would be great. So I pray for my pastor / rabbi and his family to be protected, blessed, and strengthened in you. I pray for my congregation. May we be protected and may we grow together in wisdom and love. And then the Lord's Prayer. The prayer that Yeshua taught his Talmudim. This is, I didn't really understand this prayer until recently, I have to say. I read the articles about it, read the commentaries about it. It's this, it's that, it's the other. It relates to Jewish prayer this way, that way, the other. But recently the Lord told me the Lord's Prayer is about submission. Okay? Listen, and let me just do this myself here because I'm going to cut in on the prayer. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Right away, what is the focus of your prayer? Okay? I talked about this a little bit the other week. It's not, Lord, why did this happen? It's not, Lord, I need the car. I need the this. I need. It's right away the focus of your prayer is, this is not about me. This is about the Lord. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. You see the attitude adjustment right away? I'm praying that his name be glorified, that people see him and acknowledge him as holy. May your kingdom come, not my kingdom, your kingdom. May your will be done as in heaven, so on earth. It's just a little different stress on the words, right? May your will be done. Means not my will, but yours. Give us this day our daily bread, right? And I'll be content. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It's a prayer of submission, Lord. Your will, your kingdom, right? You're feeding us. You're guiding us away from temptation. Me being a sheep and your pastor, if you pray this prayer without understanding, it's life-changing. And this last prayer, if I forget to pray this prayer in the morning, I usually end up saying something stupid, right? I'm pretty good at that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If this is going to do you good, take it and use it and pray it daily. If it's given you ideas for your own way of praying, use it, change it, whatever it might be. If it's not for you, that's okay. But you find some way to daily get into the Lord's presence in such a way that you're not just going through a list of prayers, but you're allowing the Lord to change your life. Our Father in heaven, I worship you. I thank you. I pray for each one of us, Lord, that you help us to have that prayer life that will change our lives, change what's going on around us, that we can be filled with the power to pray for others and see you work in mighty and miraculous ways, Lord. I thank you. The other night, I prayed for somebody who had been having nightmare night after night after night. I prayed for them, Lord God. No nightmares that night. And so, Lord God, you hear our prayers, and this is an awesome privilege, an awesome responsibility we've been given. But first, we need to get into your presence and allow our own lives to be changed. So I pray for each one of us, Lord, that we would be disciplined, and as the deer does pant for water, Lord God, so does our soul pant for you. And so help us to find you in our prayer times. In Yeshua's name, amen.